This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kahn.
Hi, I'm Alan Daly. I've been an Agile coach for some time, and now learning about how Agile can be adapted in other environments, or how I can take on other organizational change efforts and mix in some good principles and help organizations change and get better. So those relationships between humans and people and the organizations and the results they want to get are the things that I focus on.
This is the first episode of a series with Alan Daly where we discuss a systems thinking tool called PositWid. The purpose of a system is what it does. So, hey, Alan, I caught this interesting post on LinkedIn about, it's a really big acronym. Tell me about that.
Well, okay, so PosiWid is how I say it. P-O-S-I-W-I-D. The purpose of a system is what it does. And it's kind of a shortened version of a statement from a cybernetic academic researcher guy in cybernetics named Stafford Beer. And his statement, he made this statement many times in many of his talks and other things, but the one that he's really famous for is saying there's no point in claiming that the purpose of a system is to do what it constantly fails to do.
I don't know, Alan, I've got this bicycle. I want to go 100 miles an hour on it. I pedal really fast, but I want it to go 100 miles.
That's what it's for. It's for, you know, for this. It's for going 100 miles an hour, but right. If it's only human powered, et cetera, and it's just a standard bicycle or even a fancy standard bicycle, it's not going to go 100 miles an hour.
No matter how, but I've been training, Alan. I'm trying really hard.
Keep working at it. Yeah. So this is kind of it's a really interesting statement, and it's thrown about a lot, especially with change agents or people who are into improving companies, et cetera. Because the statement in cybernetics is something that can be applied to biological systems or ecosystems or businesses or relationships or humans, whatever. It's the thought of a system takes in some input, does something to it, and feeds output, but that output feeds back into the system. So if you're not taking that feedback and changing what you do based on the feedback, then that's where this comes about, right? That we claim that our system is about decreasing poverty. Please donate to us. By the way, only 5% of your donations go to anybody who needs money, right? If that feedback of saying, well, we don't really give very much money to poor people, maybe that's not the purpose of our system, right? And so that's what it means. And so what it tries to point out, change agents try to point out that, like, to point to this saying as a way to criticize companies or criticize a system that they're dealing with, to say, look, what you say you do is not what you do. So therefore, the purpose of the system is actually what you do, not what you say you do.
Yeah, that's cool, because we don't have to go too far down this area. But from a political standpoint, I always like to meet people who say they're independent voters, and I ask, well, who did you vote for the last four elections? And then they admit to me, oh, it's really only this other party that I always vote for.
It's always this one party. Yeah.
It's like, what?
Yeah. So you can see how this ignoring the feedback is this whole, the whole point of the saying, right?
Yeah.
So I was on Mastodon. I'm on Mastodon quite a bit these days. And someone reposted somebody's statement. It was a person named Arya Stewart. And they pointed out that they never liked this saying because to them, talking about the dysfunction of a company, we already have ways to talk about that. But if we try to conflate purpose to saying the purpose is something different than what it's claimed to be, then their contention is we are ignoring the power that's in the situation. In other words, the people who declare the purpose have the power to do so. And if we say the purpose is something other than what they declared, we're ignoring the power that they have.
Let's break that down a little bit, because I'm fuzzy. So, like, for example, here's another one: greenwashing situations with oil companies, right? And we are blah blah blah. We're all in on green energy, and the CEO, I would assume, ostensibly, who said that, probably has some power to change the system. And you were saying, like, we don't want to ignore the power of the person who stated the purpose.
Correct. So that was their contention, right? That the why they didn't like that statement, because it ignores or minimizes the power that is in place when somebody claims a purpose, but the system does not follow that purpose, but yet they continue to claim that purpose or force that purpose.
Is this okay? I think I'm getting warmer here. So is it? I'm going to say the person who stated that a complaint was saying from a different frame. Maybe they were saying this, that the system is undergoing a change, but you're being unfair because you're picking on it for not having achieved the new change that the new leader is trying to get to. Is that, am I on track or am I in the weeds?
That could be an application of that. Yeah, that complaint. I think it's more about focusing on that the statement, their complaint is that the statement focuses so much on, ask the word purpose to carry too much, such that we're ignoring the dysfunction that exists.
Okay, cool. Yeah, so I was, that could be, you know, I was trying to make it more of a, it's maybe about stating a vision for the future. Of course, it takes time to get to that vision of the future. And that would be, and the person, if the person has the power to get to there, then great. And another side of it is, you were just saying that, well, really, we need to just point out the dysfunctions in. If you're going to say this is the purpose, then we can now critique the other parts of the system that aren't supporting the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And please feel free to correct me, Alan. I don't want to make it what you don't mean it to be.
And you know, I'm trying to express my understanding of something that somebody else said, but that's not the point of my post. Point of my post was I'm thankful to Arya for triggering my thinking, because I started thinking about, okay, what is power? Where does it come from? And in a little bit of back and forth I did with them online, the idea of intent came to the fore. So purpose contains intent, right? I intend for the system to do something, therefore its purpose is this, right? And I think that kind of contains the power too, but I'm trying to get to the intent. And so my brain went down the intent path. I was like, so what kind of intent is there, right? Okay, I intend for our company to, you know, solve world hunger. Okay, great. So our purpose is to make sure everybody has food on their plate. But there are intentions that I state or that I know that are public. There are intentions that are private, right? Part of my intention might be to establish this nonprofit that's going to solve world hunger. Part of my intention was that, well, you know, if I'm Bill Gates, my intention might be I want to leave a great legacy, right? And he doesn't go out and say, my legacy is going to be solving world hunger, but that is his private intention. Right. And we can imagine that that's not a private intention that's well hidden. Other private intentions are like companies now who have shifted from a purchase to a subscription model. They say subscription allows us to fund great new experiences for you and is great for you because you always get the latest and you never have to worry about something that's outdated. But the private intention is, yeah, we want a steady stream of revenue.
Yeah.
Right. We want profit and revenue, and renting this service or software or whatever it is will give us that steady stream of revenue.
And that's a great frame as well with the nonprofit situation, because they need to think about sustainability of their operations. And so some of that, back to the only 5% going to solving the problem that they're stating, right. some of that's operational cost. Now, does it have to be only 5%? That's the correct debate.
Correct. I mean, there are operational costs, et cetera, and things like that. And so that's fine. It's just that those are private intent that maybe people within the company know.
Yeah.
Or maybe if it's a really large company, the private intent might only be known by a small group of senior leaders, right? That this is the real reason we're doing it. We're really doing this because we want to get purchased. We're really doing this because we want to go public, right? Or whatever it is. But we're not going to tell all our employees, hey, work hard because we want to get purchased, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a private intent can even be, certainly it's within the organization or within the system, but it could be in within a small subset of that system. And then the third intent that I thought of is the unconscious intent, where everybody we all have biases. And I don't mean to say that in a way that I'm not saying we're all racist or something else. We all have biases or preferences that we choose or filter our world through unconsciously. And those unconscious intents are going to also show up. One that often shows up in my experience is, I want to get a bonus, or I want to get a raise, or I want to get a promotion. Yes, the person thinking that is thinking that, and that's fine. But often they make choices about what the business should do filtered through that desire unconsciously.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so unconscious intent, both small or individual and larger, also gets shoved into that purpose discussion. The fascinating thing about the little chart that I made is that all of this goes into a public purpose, which our stated intent is obvious in the public purpose. But we want to state that people will state the purpose such that it will sell or accomplish the goals or the intent, including the private and unconscious intent. I'm almost getting ahead of myself here. So let me go the next step then. As the company does things, as the system or the organization does things, the results they get and continue to get and pursue reveal the private and the unconscious intent. Maybe not completely. Maybe it's still cloudy, but it's revealed there. So let me do an example. We'll do another example. Have you heard of blue hydrogen?
I've heard of green hydrogen. I'm not sure if I've heard of blue hydrogen. It may be the same idea, though.
One of the competitors to battery-operated vehicles is hydrogen vehicles. The difficulty with, there's lots of difficulties with hydrogen, but one of the difficulties is, how do you create the hydrogen? Well, you just split water. It's so easy. Well, you got to have energy to do that, right? So where do we get the energy to create our hydrogen that we need to put in our vehicles? So blue hydrogen is a thing where fossil fuel companies are saying, yeah, we can do green. We can get you hydrogen. We'll use natural gas as the source of power to create hydrogen for you. And they call that blue hydrogen. And it's wonderful. And it's great. It's all this stuff. And then, but then, of course, environmentalists, and I'm not trying to propose that I'm on their side or not, but environmentalists will point out, well, when you burn the natural gas to get your clean hydrogen, that's dirty, and it's a low efficiency process. And they point out, at least some many statistics show, they point out that you're creating almost as much carbon in the atmosphere to create the hydrogen as you would be by just running a gas vehicle.
Mm. Right, right.
All right. So the stated purpose is, we want to go green, we want to support the environment, blah, blah, blah. The private intent is, we need to make money. If everybody's shifting to green stuff, we have to figure out how to sell our natural gas in a green way and still have profits. And then the unconscious intent could be all kinds of things like, we need profits, or we know that it's bad for the environment, but we're not going to say that. Mm. Right, we're going to hide that, or I want my bonus, I want my stock to go up, whatever. Mm-hmm. Could be an unconscious thing, or not, at least not overly explicit.
Right.
So that's one way that it's revealed. Another example, to some people anyway, is all this AI stuff that's happening. Right, is that this will make your life easier and smoother, and we can automate all kinds of things. And on the other side of it, the not so private or unconscious intent is, we just want to charge people to get the same data they created in the first place, right? Is the argument, right? And this talk is not an argument about whether AI is real or not,
right.
Or good or not, but it feels like there's a private intent and an unconscious intent behind all of this to try and get uptake based on the public intent.
Oh, right. Yeah. Chasing the fashion, because there's a lot of knowledge. How do I say this? It's a hot topic, leveraging the hot topic so you can grow your market. That applies to, I think, both the blue hydrogen and the AI transformation that you just described.
So it's this idea that you state what your purpose is and everybody believes you as you start. And then once you start creating results, now your private and your unconscious intent becomes visible.
Hmm. Yeah. So for example, another example that we can look back at is cloud transformation that was more expensive than their on-premise solutions due to how they moved their stuff into the cloud. They got to the cloud, but they didn't get the benefit of going to the cloud, which was the public it's hard to say. It was becoming a hot thing. People start forgetting why we're doing something. They just think, oh yeah, everybody's doing this thing. It must be good. So I need to go do this thing. And then when they get there and the bills come in, they think, huh, that's right. It should be cheaper too. And it's actually more expensive. Right.
The public purpose is to save you money and you don't have to maintain the hardware. And we do that for you. And it only costs you this much per month. Mm-hmm. Then you go to do it and suddenly the private intent becomes visible because they say, oh, you want to transfer data into the cloud? Well, we have a data transfer fees and bandwidth fees. And, oh, you really need more than just one cloud. You need, you know, 15 systems in the cloud, or you need to be able to ramp up to 200 and that's going to cost you. And so there's all this, and that's probably private intent, right? How does this make profit for us if we're supposedly charging so low? The cloud company's like, yeah, but we can charge them all these other fees and all this other transaction costs. And then the unconscious intent could be, again, the making a profit or I don't really care about how much cloud costs company or how much it chews up in energy. Right. We're just going to do it because we want profits.
Right, right. Like you've been doing pretty well, Alan, I'm going to throw a disclaimer out there that we're not saying all cloud transformations are bad. There are ones that could be done well. It's just that early on, people did it unskillfully and it created some economic issues.
Agile Grande teaches you systems thinking through dramatic storytelling, such as Carter takes a job to improve a logistics company's adaptability, but efforts to scale agile practices are being blocked by Mr. Chernesky, a vice president who's organized the company into siloed pigeonholes in order to secretly make millions with a dark web shipping service. Carter's life is in danger. He goes underground, and a spy agency hunts for him. When Carter uses systems thinking, systems modeling, and organizational change to save his company and his life, you get to learn how to apply that to your organization as well. Get your free copy of Agile Grande at leanpub.com.
Check out the show notes and we will have some goodies in there for you, such as an image of Positwood from Alan Daly, as well as ways to connect with him and any other thing we could find that was valuable to you. What are show notes? Show notes show up in your podcast player for your easy access as soon as this episode is loaded. However, if you downloaded this episode from a website, go back to the website where you got the MP3 and you will see show notes there. Next episode, more Alan Daly.
I was a coach in an organization who needed to restart their agile stuff in their department. Very large department, some hundreds of people. One of the senior directors of that institution, or that department I should say, was very excited about having an agile coach, and yes, I have an agile coach, and here's there's this team that I want them to start doing agile, and it'll be great and it's wonderful, and I was all excited about it, right? The purpose of my engagement was to bring this team that was not doing agile and bring them into the agile fold and help them do things better. That's the purpose, the public intent, right? Private intent. Had a discussion with this director, and he says, yeah, what I need them to do is I really need to be able to, they're very successful. The team was creating great stuff. People were super happy. The team was happy. Their customers were happy. They just weren't working in an agile way, or the systemic, sustained way, or whatever the correct way, according to the organization, right? And so the director's like, yes, I just want them, his private intent to me, was I want them to interface with the rest of the company the way everybody else does, because it's hard for me to keep track of them or include them in my discussions because they work in a different way than everybody else.